On this most auspicious day of the appearance of the divine grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who kindly appeared in this world the next day after the appearance of Lord Krishna, to let us know for all upcoming ages that he is the devotee of Lord Krishna, and that we owe everything in the National Society for Krishna Consciousness to Srila Prabhupada. Indeed, the whole world owes everything to Srila Prabhupada for establishing Krishna consciousness, Sanatana Dharma, Bhakti Yoga, so powerfully throughout the world, to the extent that no one has even imitated or duplicated 10%. I was speaking with Alessandro Prabhu last night, and we were both remarking, I said, it's astonishing that here we are after all these years practicing Krishna consciousness, celebrating Janmashtami, things that 99% at least of the Western world would never dream of doing once in their life. What to speak of for 35 or more, 36 years? How is it that suddenly our lives changed course so dramatically? And how is it that our lives are staying on that course? Through thick and thin, through all the intricacies of material existence, we give all credit to His divine grace for being the captain of the ship, Guru Kanadar, as Sri Prabhupada says, to cross the ageless ocean of Kali.
From Brahma.
that is personal, you may feel, well, but not another way. Maybe it's not necessary. Personalism means we do things personally. So similarly, in relation to Shiva Prabhupada, personalism means you take his directives for how to associate with him, for how to be close to him. So Shiva Prabhupada instructed us. He said, if you want to know me, read my books. For those of you who have this deep desire to know Srila Prabhupada, study his books again and again. You'll never get to the bottom of it. Not only did he say, if you want to know me, read my books, he said, his books are better than him. Meaning he's made himself more available for his books than even his physical association. This is quite extraordinary. So you all have that chance to associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books, by dedication to his books, presenting his books to others, by absorbing yourself in his books. You will see how Srila Prabhupada is so deeply entwined in the lives of not only his disciples, but also his grand disciples. Grand disciples. These are the sweet mysteries of Bhakti Yoga. Because on the spiritual platform there's actually no separation. Separation is a material thing, which involves material components like time and space. But on the spiritual platform there's none of that. As we progress in spiritual life, we'll understand more and more that by our chanting Hare Krishna, we're all together. Under the influence of Maya, we're so attached to physical association. This is the bottom concept of life, actually. One Srila Prabhupada commented that physical association with the Guru is for the realized. Of course, we say, okay, I'll be with you. It's actual Prabhupada's association. When he said that, he didn't mean that he rejects any physical association with the spiritual aspect. But what he meant was that there is a higher platform which is even more intense. But in the bodily conception of life, it's hard for us to understand that there is something more intense than bodily association. The maturity presents that as the ultimate God association, physicality, consciousness, rather. But the fact is, there's nothing in the material world, there's nothing on the material plane that compares to spiritual intimacy, spiritual sangha. There's nothing. Well, this is the gift Srila Prabhupada wanted to give his followers through his departure. By his departure from the ordinary vision of this world, he established himself firmly in the hearts of his sincere followers. And now you can see that effect even upon his grand followers, grand followers, on into the future. So first up, before reading my offering to his divine grace, I would like to express my gratitude that having been rescued from the depths of Kali Yuga to Kravati, to be fixed at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and to feel his kindness, his love, his care, his commands, his directives. When Srila Prabhupada departed this world, I thought I had missed the boat. Because I failed to understand that by having me work intimately on his books, Srila Prabhupada was giving me such intimate association. I didn't understand that then. I was always pining for Prabhupada's physical association. Apostle Paul's departure, I was thinking, I have missed the occasion. Actually, not only did I have all those sort of Paul's books to intimately work on as a meditation 12 hours a day for 3 years straight, but then one day, the leader of Los Angeles, he came to me with a big box, a big cardboard box, and in it were all of the letters to Shiloh Prabhupada and from Shiloh Prabhupada. He said, okay, Deva Amrita, we're entrusting this box of Prabhupada's letters to you. This is before anybody had seen Prabhupada's letters. You know, they weren't mass circulating the whole batch. Like now you can go on the folio, the other Prabhupada letter books. It wasn't like that. So there I was sitting at my desk at the BBC. And in comes this big cardboard box full of letters. I was living in London across the hall as Jayavita and Das Brahmachari. So the devotee comes in with a big box. Okay, Amrita, we're entrusting these letters to you. You just keep them safely. Now, of course, don't you read them. For the next year, there were so many letters. Then Jayavita Das Brahmachari and I, we just poured in letters. We didn't see him yet. Who was writing the problem? I was just fine with him. Jayavita, he's a Brahmachari, and his room was like 2 meters across the hall from mine. So he said, okay, you just sit through all letters. Whenever there's something really interesting, just call me. Now I understand. This is Srila Prabhupada also gave me his association. But because I was a young devotee, I was always lamenting, why can't I always be with Srila Prabhupada? He don't understand. Actually, Srila Prabhupada never even said a word to me. He came into my office once, looked at me, and just made a sound. That was it. The mantra. I remember to this day, I was just looking at his speech. Because I had read the second canto that when you approach the deity or a superior personality, first of all, you can raise your vision. So I just focused on Prabhupada's speech. Then some other devotee walked in the room in my office. This boy has graduated from such and such university. I said, looking at Prabhupada's feet, I'm a fool, don't believe them. I'm a fool, you have to save me. I thought Prabhupada would just ignore this mundane comment. The devotee went on, and Prabhupada just gave one of those Indian head moves. So that was the only word I got from Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't a word, it was a sound. During his physical presence. Just a long as you look me up and down. I explained to him what I was doing, how I was working on his books, making sure that everything that was in his manuscript is coming out in the published edition of the books. Now, of course, I realize that regardless of my whining and moaning as a neophyte devotee, Srila Prabhupada was giving me his association. I remember once during the San Francisco Rathiatra in 1975. Thousands of devotees were there from all over the U.S. Srila Prabhupada was there. He was writing on one of the cards. parts. So these thousands of devotees, I was just praying to Srila Prabhupada. I want to assist you. I want to serve you. Pushing all the way to time to sacred time. I was praying intensely. Thousands of devotees. All of a sudden, I looked at Srila Prabhupada's heart, and he's looking right at me. Laser eyes. I was speechless. Like, thousands of devotees are. Some people have that experience that, in spite of, at that time, Srila Prabhupada having 5,000 disciples, they all somehow felt something special. And even now, I hear from young devotees, they feel something special. And that specialness can be felt so profoundly if you're dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's books. You'll feel that connection. He wanted it that way. That's why he said his books are better than him. They offer you a better chance for sangha than his physical association did. Because back then, in the early days of this time, we would judge who was a big devotee by who was with Prabhupada all the time. Not understanding, as we do now, that Prabhupada had pragmatic concerns. Like, this one was a Sanskrit editor, you know, this one, you know, can figure out airline schedules, you know. But we thought, ooh, he's with Prabhupada, he's a Mahatma. And then when the devotee would ask him typically, what's going on here? He's with Prabhupada. These are the ways of the young devotees. Frankly speaking, Prabhupada is the only adult in the Krishna consciousness. So, it was so entrenched in devotees' minds this time at that time. If you're with Prabhupada, you're a lot, you're a big devotee. So finally, Prabhupada commented that if you judge who is an advanced devotee by who is physically closest to me, then I say the mosquito is the topmost devotee. But what is the purpose of the mosquito? So we all have a point then. So on this joyous day, celebrate Srila Prabhupada's appearance. I want to express my, again, because in Vedic culture, to say something three times means emphasis, auspiciousness. So again, I offer my most all the gratitude that I can summon, I thank Srila Prabhupada for saving me from the horrors of Kalinga and establishing me at his lotus feet and taking me back home, back to Godhead. Back home, back to Godhead is forever Krishna's service. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my prostrate obeisances at your lotus feet. In your devotional service, dedicated followers can see how pure love of Krishna surcharges all three phases of time. First, your Bapu bequeathed to us the wealth of an inconceivable past. This most sublime personal estate, the Prabhupada memories, enriches our days and nights. Then, through your body association, you share with us a now, a present, that defies mundane conceptions. Our heart's solace and sustenance is indeed that thou art living still in sound. Especially as the recorded kirtans in the form of your books. Furthermore, because of both the past and present that you've already bestowed, a resplendent future in Bhakti awaits us, in either this time here or the virgin in the spiritual world, where, as you say, somehow we'll all recognize one another. Your gifts, strategies, and goals have withstood the century's change. The question becomes not, are your goals and you still relevant, but are we as your followers still relevant? During the 60s and 70s, we had difficulty matching the vigorous pace of your morning walks. Since your physical departure, the decades have revealed how challenged we are to keep up with your spiritual vision, mandates, and strategies. The foundation and preparation you gave us for the 21st century bring to mind a famous humorist and social commentator's quip. He said, "When I was a teenager, I thought that my father didn't know so much. Then, upon reaching my 30s, I was shocked to perceive how much the old man had learned. I've grown up to realize, even more, that you had always been over the next hill far ahead of us in ISKCON vision, scope, and insight. Yearning to follow in your wake, clinging to your coattails, I beg for the genuine humility and pure motives required to be your effective servant. Aspiring to be a real disciple, they await a song.